There is an abundant number of voices that speak into our lives. Some speak the truth and call us up and set us free, while others speak lies that tear us down and steal our freedom. In this episode, we will look at five of the ways that the enemy inserts lies into our lives and how to combat those lies with the truth. Stick around to the very end as we have an ebook ready for you with even more truth to combat the lies that we can believe. Join Valerie and me in this episode titled, Did God Really Say? Welcome to Living the Reclaim Life podcast. I'm Denisha. We're glad you're here for conversations that revive hope, inspire healing, and encourage you to live a vibrant life with Christ. So grab a cup of coffee as we chat with today's guest. Many of you know Valerie McMahon from being on our Reclaim Story leadership team. And if you've never heard Valerie before, I want to introduce you to her a little bit. Valerie, I'm going to talk about you right now.
Okay, I'll let you.
Valerie last year just published her first book.
This month last year, it's coming up.
A whole year. It's been a year now. Valerie is an author. She is a phenomenal teacher. She is a biblical coach, and she is also the ministry content planner for Reclaim Story. So she's pretty awesome, you guys. She wears a lot of hats. She is a mother of four, an amazing wife and mama. And in case you've never heard Valerie before on the podcast, I wanted to introduce you to my friend, Valerie.
Well, as always, I'm glad to be here, and I love doing this with you. So
we have fun, you guys. Yeah. We have fun. Last month, we talked about the tortilla slap. So it was, you know, a little game.
Yes, but I don't think we're going to do it.
Yeah, no. Nope.
No, that's okay.
I'm okay with that. Well, guys, today we are going to talk about a subject that hits every single one of us. There are so many places in our lives that we believe lies. And we might not, you know, as we think about these lies, we may not believe them like we intend on believing this lie. But somehow they slip into our core beliefs. They slip into words of other people. We begin to believe them, and then we begin to act on them. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Actually, the month of September is lies that we believe and the truth that sets us free. And Valerie and I are going to kick off today with the very first lie that was ever told in the Bible. And then we're going to give you five different ways that the enemy tries to come in and plant those lies within our hearts, and five different ways that that happens, and then some ways to overcome those lies. So buckle up and let's dive in. Valerie, let's talk about that very first lie.
Yes. Well, we're talking about Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And if you are familiar with the Bible at all, you know, Genesis talks about creation and everything that God created. Then, of course, he created his most prized creation, which was Adam and Eve, man and woman. And then we turn to chapter 3, and that's where we start to see those lies. In the NIV, it says actually in chapter 3, verse 1, when the devil, who was disguised as a serpent, comes over and is talking to Adam and Eve, and he says, did God really say? Those four words, did God really say? And that is actually our first D of the devil. I like alliteration, the five D's of the devil. But the first D is doubt. Isn't that is the lie that we get trapped in with doubt, is did God really say, Denisha?
Yeah. And what's fascinating is what? No. The answer is no. God did not really say what he's about to repeat or yeah. to try to repeat.
Yeah, well, let's read it. In verse 1 again, he comes and says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. That should tell you right there to watch out. The Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And Denisha, as you said, I'm an author, so I love words. And so one of the things in my training and education of studying the Bible, I like to just read a passage over and over again, because we can know a story, but when you carefully read each word, like that's when you see like, oh, Like, and that's why it's so important to read the Bible, read the Word of God for ourselves and not just rely on what we hear. But I wanted to point out to our audience, so this is how the first lie, the first trap that Satan sets. So we have to go back, Denisha, to chapter 2, when we see God, who is so good. And that's what, when he created his creation, created us, he wanted nothing but to just give us good things. And that's what I love about God being such a good God. So when we look in chapter 2, verse 15, this is what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free. Pay attention to that word. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. So what did our enemy say? He said, you must not eat from any tree. So that difference between being free and not being free. What do you think about that, Denisha?
Well, I think there's such a contradiction there. You know, like you said, God is saying, you are free here. This is all yours. But the one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat from that, right? When you eat from it, you will certainly die. And then the enemy comes and says, you know, God's taking everything from you. He's saying, don't eat any tree of the garden. But really, there's a freedom there that the enemy he's twisting.
I always say we like free choice as long as it works for us. God gave us the gift of free choice, and we have to see that as a gift. But I think sometimes, you know, we can see God as a restrictive God, or even that's what Satan wants to do. That's what our enemy wants to do, is see, that's what he's trying to plant in Eve's mind right now, is God is restricting you. But what I like to say is that God is protecting us. That, you know, we have laws we obey, right? You know, like, we have speed limits, we have red lights. Why are they there? They're there to protect us. You know, do we have the free choice to run the red light or to go above the speed limit? Of course. But what's going to happen if we do, right? There's going to be consequences. Those things are put in place to protect us. And God, being the good and loving God that he is, he put these boundaries because, to be honest, we would not be able to handle the knowledge of good and evil. I wouldn't want that. Like, that was not like God saying, oh, I don't, you know, he's saying, no, I am God. I can handle this. I can handle the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to have that mantle, that burden. But Satan comes in with that first D and says, huh, but did God really say? And he just twists enough to, you know, he doesn't want us to be free, right? I mean, if you've studied the scriptures, you know, the enemy, he was an angel and he was a created being, but he disobeyed God and he was kicked out of heaven along with a lot of other angels. And that's why, you know, that's why he wants to trap us, because he's been denied freedom. So he wants us to be denied of it. So yeah, that first D, doubt, did God really say? And I got to tell you, Denisha, even preparing for this podcast, and, you know, I think we've shared on other podcasts, you know, guys, we don't have it all together. don't think that just because we're on the other end of the mic that, you know, I mean, we're sharing with you what God is teaching us. And, you know, I had that experience this very week where I was struggling with lies. And, you know, when we struggle with lies, the enemy wants nothing more than us to open our Bible, you know, because like I said, when we open our Bible, we're going to read truth. And I was just thinking the other day, I was really struggling and I was, you know, kind of feeling just really low, but God just like opened my word, Valerie. And, you know, I, being a teacher, sometimes I think, oh, if I open God's word, I got to analyze it. I got to, you know, find this really deep, you know, meaning. And just reading scripture, Denisha, just reading God's word, like the depression I was feeling, the lies I was feeling were just lifted because his word is alive. And that's what I love about it. It's like just reading, like just us reading right now that God said you are free. It brings such, it just lifts, it lifts those lies. So yeah, that doubt, we got to guard against that doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what I think is interesting is God makes the first proclamation, right? In Genesis 2:16, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden. That's the rule, right? Like this is where God's saying, here's what's best for you, but you must not eat from the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the enemy comes in, and this is exactly what he does in our life, right? But did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And then Eve's response to the enemy in that is so what I do. Can I be honest? Thank you for your vulnerability, because I'll just say yes. Like I would be lying if I told you I did not wrestle with lies. Yes, I wrestle with tons of lies. I could write a book on just the lies that I believe that I'm trying to combat with truth. So yeah, we are all walking this out together. And so what I love is here, God says, you know, you are free, but don't eat of this one tree. The enemy comes in and creates doubt, as you said, you know, did God really say that? And then Eve comes back and says to the serpent, we may eat from any fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Pause. Okay, Eve has it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God just said, you're free to eat from any tree, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She even twisted God's command, right? And said, he told us not to eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. Okay, I could see that, Eve. You're still on a good track. You know, you're saying, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Okay, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the middle of the garden. Okay, but God did not say you must not touch it.
No.
So she is even adding to God's word. And I think it's so important that we stick to what God's word says.
Yeah.
When you were wrestling and being down and having that those trials this mm-hmm. week, right? Like all of us do, you went to the word of the Lord to see what do you have to say about this? Yeah. You went back to Genesis 2:16. What does God have to say? Not what the enemy said, not how we twist it into fit our lives and circumstances or what we think God meant, but you actually went back to what God actually said.
Well, and that really leads us to the second D, distraction. I mean, who doesn't get distracted, right? It's like, I think it's just the world we live in. But that's exactly what I think the twisting, the lies that Satan was telling her, it distracted Eve from the truth. And we have to be on our guard from that. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the podcast, but I have to read this quote, Denisha. I ran across this as I was, you know, preparing for us to do this podcast, and I just found it on the internet. It's from a blog, Dr. Michelle Bengston, Bengston. I think she's a medical doctor. She has a blog. But anyway, it says, we go to great lengths to protect our homes and our belongings. We would never knowingly invite a thief into our home. So why would we allow thoughts that steal our joy and peace of mind to make themselves at home in our mind? And I was like, whoa. mic drop. I was thinking of that when it comes to the second D of distraction. It's like, you know, right? Like we spend so much time, investment, researching, okay, getting the perfect alarm system, locks on our doors, you know, I don't know, guard dog. I know I have a guard dog. But anyways, like we spend so much time, but how much time do we spend protecting our minds from distraction, right? There's all these tools and I don't know, different things out there to help you, you know, organize and to stay on task. And I feel like that's exactly what, you know, the enemy knew he was doing. It's like, oh, if I just leave out these words or twist them, then he caused not only Eve to doubt, but to distract her. And here, like I said, she's even putting words in God's mouth. And so, yeah, distraction, it's a tough one. But I think we all know that even in today's age, right? You know, we don't have to say, you know, social media. We're on social media. We want you to follow us on social media. But you know, there's a lot of things that are good, right? But can easily turn into just a distraction that keeps us from what's best. And that's what God is saying. He goes, this is what's my best for you. And don't just settle for the minimum. And here, you know, Eve's saying, we may eat from the tree. You know, it's interesting, Denisha, because she doesn't say we may eat from any. She just says we may eat from the trees in the garden. Like even that, like she's diminishing, which kind of crossing over to the next. She's diminishing the gift of freedom. Even right there, she's like, she got so distracted. She's like not even realizing that she's saying, oh, wait, no, God's not giving us as much freedom as he said, because the devil is saying, yeah, just think about God as a restrictive God. And that is the first lie, is seeing God as a restrictive God. Oh,
so good. So the five D's. So, yeah. So far we've covered doubt. Mm-hmm. Did God really say? Same. Distraction. Mm-hmm. And diminishing the freedom, yeah, that God truly had given Adam and Eve, that, yeah, God truly has given us in our lives. And so when they say, and you must not touch it or you will die, is what she says. We know God never said she couldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. But that kind of leads us towards the next D.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Satan starts to say in verse 3 and 4, you will not certainly die. You know, we go back in chapter 2, where God is giving the command. He says, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And I think about, again, that diminishing, that, you know, it's like he's saying, oh, you will not certainly die. And I think, you know, the devil could have been like, yeah, well, yeah, if you touch it, you eat it, you're not going to die right now. I mean, it's fruit. How could it harm you? And again, that thing of like, you know, God was talking about eternal, as we know, the fall of man, you know, because of sin entering the world, we will experience physical death. And we had to have Jesus come. God sent Jesus to come to die for our sins so that we would no longer be separated from God and we could live eternally in heaven with him. Just camping in that a minute, the whole diminishing, you know, I think about just, again, some vulnerability here of just how, I don't know, just even on a daily basis, I just diminish the goodness of God. You know, when we diminish the goodness of God around us, you know, even if we're going through trials, even if we're experiencing just really hard times, God is still good. I think even, a year or so ago, we did a whole month on the goodness of God. And I would encourage you, you can even Google scriptures on the goodness of God and just being able to pour that truth, because it's so easy to not only like diminish our freedom, like, okay, God, you gave us this freedom. Why are you not giving us this? And he's saying, because I want to protect you. But then we can diminish God's goodness, and that can lead to discontentment.
That's so true. Let's talk more about discontentment, our fourth D.
Yeah.
Doubt, distraction, diminishing, discontentment. Where does that come in here in Genesis 3?
Yeah. Well, right after he says, the enemy says, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So again, he's painting God as this restrictive God. And so it says in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for wisdom, she took some of it. And that's where I feel like that discontentment comes in, is that God had given them everything. I mean, Denisha, how sweet it. They walked with God. I mean, it talks about in the first 3 chapters of Genesis that they walked with God in the cool of the day. Like, imagine how amazing that is, that they had the God of the universe there physically with them, just, you know, talking, walking with them. He had given them everything they needed. And yet Satan's starting to say, like, you know, I don't know. I think the reason why God doesn't want you to touch that tree is because then you'll like share power with him and he doesn't want to, you know, he's a restrictive God. And that's when those seeds of discontentment, you know, Eve start to like, maybe you're right. Maybe God is restricting us. You know, it can't be that bad. Like, look, it looks so delicious and awesome and fun and wonderful. And don't we do that today in our lives? I don't know, Denisha, I think this is a great podcast to be so transparent on, because I would say discontentment is probably of the D's we're going to talk about, the thing I struggle with the most. And I don't know, I think it's, you know, it's other lies I'm believing, you know, whether it's like, oh, I need that, I don't know, makeup or clothes or this to, you know, because I don't feel pretty, or I need, you know, this new thing to make my life more comfortable because I just don't feel discontent, or I want my kids to act a certain way. I want my husband to act a certain way. I want this to be, there's so, you know, and I think our culture screams at us, especially that, you know, you're unhappy. You know, make yourself, make your life, make make your home more comfortable so that you can live in ease and comfort. And I think that's what breeds discontentment, is when we are just not, I call it the lie of not enough. The lie of not enough. Like, I need more to make myself happy. I need more to make myself more comfortable. I need my family to do this so that there will be more peace in the home. You know, whatever it may be, it's the lie of what God has given is not enough.
That's so good. You know, I found myself many times like Eve too. You know, I make a decision on what I can see. Or what my emotions tell me in the moment is right instead of the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a trap that we can fall into. And when the enemy says you will be like God, that's almost a temptation to be our own God. You know, you will be your own God. You will know good and evil. You will be. It takes the deity, it takes the amazing glory away from who God is. And going back to Genesis 2, we were free. Yeah. We were free to eat of anything but the one thing. And so she made that decision, you know, based on what she could see, based on what her emotions told her. And I definitely, like you have described, I found myself in that place too, a ton of times.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, you know, that's, those are the seeds of temptation. You know, the Bible, many passages talks about temptation. You know, temptation in itself is not a sin. You know, I think we can actually, you know, kind of a preview of next month, we're going to be talking about shame. And I think when we feel temptation, I think that's another lie of the devil. It's like, oh, you should feel bad for being tempted. But, you know, I mean, scripture says, and I'm sorry, I can't think of the reference right off. It's like God says that when you're tempted, I'll give you a way out. And I think it's in Corinthians. God knew they would be tempted. I mean, he gave them choice, but it's like he, you know, he always gives us a way out. And Eve had a way out here, but, you know, she gave in to her temptation. She shared it with Adam. He gave into his temptation. But, you know, I want our listeners to hear this, and to meditate on this truth, is that we all are going to be tempted. But I want to encourage you that if you feel tempted, to tell someone you trust. I had a friend for a while, and goodness, I feel like I should do this again, where like something I struggled with, like every time I felt tempted, I would text her, you know? And if you have somebody like that, that is a way out, Denisha, that when we feel tempted, to tell somebody, say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me find a way out? Because temptation, there's no shame in temptation. But when we give in to that temptation, that's when it can lead us to sin. And that kind of wraps up our fifth D, is that desire, right? What leads us to temptation is desire. And that's what it says right here. It says, she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. You know, those are all things that God has given us. When our desires, you know, when our feelings start to deceive us and take us, like I said, like, I want more, like this seems good. And we have to check it back with God. Say, God, is this a desire you're giving me? Is this a desire I should follow through with? And here we see that fifth D, that Satan again takes something that God created as good and twists it and tempts Eve to desire more than what God was allowing her and Adam to have. So, oh, all the goodness that God wants to give us. That's the father of lies. That's what Satan wants to do. You guys, father of lies. He wants to taint and distract us and tempt us away from the goodness of God.
That's so true. And that's John 8:44, right? When yes. he lies, he yes. speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's so true. I found a quote by Thomas Brooks. And he says, Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. Mm. And isn't that true? He's promising Eve, you know, you will have knowledge of good and evil. You will be like God. But yet what he paid back with was deception. Every bad thing that we've experienced in our world, from wars to wounds to heartache to relationships, any pain goes back to that one lie. Mm. Did God really say? And so, friends, that's what we want to challenge you with today, is what lies are you believing? What lies are you believing about your identity in Christ? What lies are you believing about relationships, your marriage, your parenting? What are the lies that you are believing? And what is the truth that can help set you free? So we listen, then we believe, and then we act upon those lies, if we choose to believe them. We listen, then we believe, then we act upon them. So if we reject those lies when we hear them, we can embrace truth, which brings us to freedom. So I hope today, Valerie, if you want to go back over those five D's, because I think they are so good. They give us a place to listen. Yeah. Are we listening for these five D's? And when we hear them, when we catch them, can we not believe them, instead embrace truth?
Yeah. And like you just read in scripture, the language of the enemy. So, you know, knowing these five D's can help us discern, like, is this the language? Is this the voice of Satan, or is this the voice of God? And so again, these five D's, and we'll put them on our social too, if you want to write them down. It's doubt, distraction, diminishing God's word, discontentment, and the lure of desire. So those five D's. Yeah, and like you were saying, the truth that sets us free, you know, just to kind of wrap up our time here, is that, you know, the two things we can do to guard against the five D's of the devil is knowing God's word. And I know that can seem like a daunting thing, but again, here is that God wants to meet you in his word. Just reading it, you don't have to understand everything you read, but God's word is alive and active, Hebrews 4:12, and it's breathing. It will speak to you just like it did to me this week. So we must know God, and it is important to know, to memorize scripture if you can, because when we start to be tempted to listen to the voice, those five D's of the devil, then we can counter that with the truth of God's word. And then, Denisha, like I mentioned before, that great quote about going to great lengths to protect our house. So we should do the same to protect our minds. I think the second thing is paying attention to our thoughts, right? Like, maybe you're a journaler, maybe you're not, but just again, like, if you keep hearing something that you're just like being consumed with, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. And we do that by saying, you know, come to God and say, God, this is the thought. He already knows it, but confess it. Say, God, I just feel so unworthy. I don't feel like I'm enough. I feel like a failure, whatever it is. And just start reading God's word and paying attention to those thoughts and saying again, is this the voice of the enemy? Or is this a voice of a good God who only wants the best for me? So I like, when your mind is under attack, fight back with God's word.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, guys, if you have made it this far into episode 70, we would like to give you a free gift. So thank you so much for listening. We know that there are so many lies that we are hit with. I'm not enough. I'm not qualified. I'm overlooked. I can't. Is a lie all on its own. So we want to give you a free gift. We have an ebook put together with truth to combat each of those lies. So if you're listening on the podcast now, it is on our show notes, and we will also post it on Monday, on Labor Day, with this podcast. So it will be on our social feed. Go ahead and grab that ebook and begin to speak the truth over those lies so that you can come against doubt, distraction, diminishing discontentment, and desire. Thank you so much for listening, and we pray this was an encouragement for you today. Thanks for listening. I pray you found hope in today's conversation and maybe even feel a little less alone in your story. Stay connected with us on Facebook and Instagram at Reclaimed Story. Want to learn more about living a reclaimed life and how you can be a part of our growing community of reclaimers? Check out our website at reclaimedstory.com. All of those links and more will be in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this inspirational podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Not only will you be the first one to know when new content comes out, but it is also a huge help in helping us reach more people to live the reclaimed life.